The digital future looked pretty lonely in the 1980s, at least according to the German band Kraftwerk. Back then, Germany was a pioneer in electronic music. But today, when it comes to digital technology, how advanced is Germany? That's our question on Stammtisch this week, and here's a spoiler, not very. At the moment, German ministers talk constantly about how important the internet is. But if you've ever tried to get online at a German airport or in a train, you might wonder what all those government departments are actually doing. I'm Damian McGuinness, and to help me figure out Germany's digital dilemmas, I've gathered some technical hotshots, although admittedly in analogue fashion, we're all just sitting around a table. Chris Kerver is senior editor of the Germany edition of the technology magazine Wired. So Chris, how does Germany score out of 10 when it comes to digitalization?
I would say 5, because there's certain things that we're pioneering in and other things like broadband that are just a real catastrophe.
Okay, well, that's not as bad as I thought then. 5 out of 10, mediocre, not terrible.
Mediocre, I would say.
Now, when you talk about digital innovation in Europe, you, of course, have to mention the northern European state of Estonia. If Germany is the EU's digital dunce, then Estonia is its star pupil. So all the way from Tallinn, joining us this week is the Estonian journalist Maris Hellerand. Maris, you work in Germany a lot. What's it like going backward and forward between Europe's digital frontrunner and its digital slacker?
Oddly, probably the most striking situation is always when I work with German colleagues who are much younger than me, and they watch me doing sort of elementary, easy things, and they say, oh, I feel so old.
Because you're a Gen Xer like me, aren't you? So you're not a digital native. You grew up in a different world.
But there's somehow this Estonia's digital image has led to even like people in the EU Commission running around with their laptops and asking every Estonian they meet, hey, can you help me fix my laptop?
So you have a technical problem in the EU Commission, it's like find an Estonian.
Yep.
And my regular co-host is DW's chief political editor, Michaela Kufner. So, Michaela, defend our homeland. Are we as bad as that?
Well, it's a tricky one. I think if you call computer support here, you're still going to get the advice to switch it off and on again. If you ask an Estonian, you're going to get a more elaborate answer on the whole question of fiber optics cable, that broadband access. Belarus has more than a third of households connected. Germany, just over 2%. Need I say more?
Right, so it's the infrastructure we have problems with.
Definitely.
Okay.
Sadly, the infrastructure leads to a general mindset problem as well. If you don't have the technology to use, you can't even imagine what you can do with it.
I just remembered you actually wanted me to defend Germany.
Instead, you said how bad we are.
Well, I mean, we do have centres of excellence, and there are many, particularly in artificial intelligence, there are centers of excellence in Germany. It's just rather unfortunate that a lot of experts then decide it just gets too complicated, it's too much red tape in Germany, and they leave.
So we lose the talent, sort of brain drain to Silicon
and,
Valley.
We're already seeing a knock-on effect in that people are feeling intimidated by technology, particularly older people. Around a third feel intimidated by this new technology, and it's
I think I'm included in that. I feel pretty intimidated.
Yeah, it's a clear
myself.
Indication that you know society has kind of missed the boat, because if you have like an obvious benefit from embracing a new technology. Let's just mention televisions. I mean, you know, everybody suddenly can connect the latest gizmo to that because then there's an obvious benefit. And Germany and particularly the institutions here, and particularly when it comes to public services, have not offered that obvious benefit for engaging in this new technology yet.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in a lot more detail later. But to get us in the mood first to talk about all things digital, we're going to start with a little quiz, as we often like to do on this podcast. And our quiz is about internet slang and those technical terms that everyone throws around without necessarily understanding, or maybe that's just me. But this time I won't be asking the questions, mainly because I have no idea myself. In keeping with our topic, we've enlisted artificial intelligence. I don't know what the question is going to be either. I'm really going to show myself up here for being truly analog.
Yes.
And actually, I have to confess, for years, I actually thought LOL meant lots of love. And I've only recently found out it doesn't mean that at all. It means
laughing
out loud. Thank you. I've forgotten.
There's still enough love in your life now that you know this. See, all those people love you. Yeah, they were laughing at you.
I know. It's mean, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay. Now I've really shown how digitally advanced I am. Okay. Our quiz. I'm going to hand over now to our homemade Stammtisch robot.
Fleek. F-L-E-E-K. Fleek.
Fleek. Well, I've never even heard of it, let alone know what it means.
I don't know that one either. Look, Wired magazine doesn't know what it is.
Okay,
I don't know this.
Then we're okay. I have to say, our Stammtisch robot was designed by a digital native who's about 20 years younger than me, so that's my excuse. What is the answer, robot?
Fake means something is perfect. Example, producer Nina's musical choices for the podcast are on fleek.
No, they're not.
On fleek. I feel old.
All right, we're not doing very well here. Yeah. Second question, please.
TLDR. TL semicolon DR. TLDR.
I know that
Chris
one.
Chris is nodding. Okay. Yes, we're not going to make complete
long,
fools of ourselves.
Too long didn't read. So TLDR is too long didn't read, which is in the sense that I don't have the time to read through all that. So here's the summary.
Let's hear if you're right.
TLDR means too long didn't read.
Wow.
Example, Michaela replies to Damien's briefing mail with TLDR.
Actually, we didn't even get one this week. I mean, can't get much shorter than that.
Well done, Chris. All right, 1 point to you. Third question, please, Stammtisch robot.
LTE. LTE. LTE.
Well, it's what's missing in Germany. Broadband.
Something or other.
Access, mobile phone access.
What's it stand for?
Network technology, but I'm not positive at all what the right wording is. Or...
Maris?
No.
Do you know what it's short for?
Maris, you're letting down Estonia here.
I know. I feel ashamed.
Okay, let's hear the answer.
LTE stands for long-term evolution. It is a telecommunication standard for high-speed wireless data connectivity. Example, LTE is only available within 59% of Germany. That's why you cannot upload any Instagram photos outside of Berlin.
Maris, you look shocked by that fact.
Really? Yes. I mean, how do the kids survive here?
Well, and actually, there's a more serious point to it. How do businesses survive? You're an architect who lives outside the big hubs here in Germany, and you need to quickly send rather complex files somewhere, and you don't really have that kind of access, it's a complete disaster. And that's something that was promised in this coalition deal. And now we learned in the new budget that less money will be invested than expected, which some commentators have already described as a scandal. So we're going to hear a lot more fighting over those billions and how much of that will go into digital infrastructure.
Next question, please, robot.
Noob. N-O-O-B.
That's
noob.
Chris, you're streaking ahead here. Go on.
That's online speak for someone who's a newbie, new to whatever, new to the internet, new to technology, new to a certain chat room.
That's right. Yes, yeah, I recognize that actually now from when I hear my son playing online. So I hear that a lot, but I didn't.
What he calls his friends noob.
Yeah. It's similar to lame.
Let's hear the answer. Let's see if you're right, Chris.
Noob. Deriving from the term newbie, describes a person who is inexperienced in the use of the internet. Example, if you still don't understand what I'm talking about, you are a noob.
Okay, I think I'm officially a noob. Thank you, Stammtisch robot. So I think I've shown myself up here to be truly stuck in the 90s. But Chris, you did well. But then you are a senior editor at Wired, so you should do. Good. Okay, Maris, I wasn't very impressed.
I'm very sorry. Yes, I realise. But my excuse is my age.
Okay, good. All right, now this week, the internet is particularly big news in Germany because Europe's largest digital conference, Republica, is being held in Berlin. And the opening session was a chat with Chelsea Manning. So, Michaela, remind us briefly who Chelsea Manning is and why she's significant when talking about the internet.
Well, she initially was a whistleblower and she was sentenced to decades in prison in the US. And one of the last things President Barack Obama did is basically pardon her. She leaked documents and images.
To WikiLeaks,
while she was an analyst during the Iraq War. So now she's reinvented herself, really. She's a transgender representative. She changed gender from male to female. At the same time, she's now becoming a very vocal advocate for people to have more awareness of the opportunities, but also the dangers of this digital age.
Because she's essentially a political activist now, isn't she?
Really, yes, yeah. She is. And she was on her first trip outside the US since she was released from prison. She spent 7 years in prison.
Okay, now you asked her a question about the role of regulation. Let's have a listen to that.
Here in Germany, there's a very intense debate on whether to regulate or whether to get ahead of the game by joining the game more. What is your advice for policymakers who actually seek to regulate
regulate or we'll regulate you. that's what I say to policymakers. And also, like, we can't depend on regulations or on changes because they're so arbitrary and they change, you know. You know, we come up, you know, every single society comes up with laws and then they shift because of lobbying and because of interests. And then even though you might have a regulatory framework, it gets chipped away slowly by lobbying and by, you know, the institutional churn within politics. So that's why I'm saying that we shouldn't be depending upon regulatory frameworks to deal with this.
So it sounds like Chelsea Manning has a lot of distrust of the state and no faith in institutions when it comes to regulation, Michaela.
That's really a call for civil society to rein in the Googles, the Facebooks of this time. They need for every individual to challenge them. And she frankly feels that the whole debate we're having here in Germany about regulation is going nowhere fast.
Because she doesn't believe that the state can regulate, does she?
She doesn't think it can work.
What do you guys think about this idea of regulation versus the tech giants?
We're having this discussion right now in Germany because the past minister of justice, Heiko Maas, passed a law right before leaving office that is sort of probably unique in that I'm not sure if there's ever been such general agreement from the left to the right, from organizations, politicians, and everybody almost, that this law is a total failure. It's just not working. So it's called Netzwerkdurchsetzungsgesetz, NetzDG short.
And critics have said it censors communication on
hate speech. The idea was to pass regulation to get big platforms, mostly Twitter and Facebook, YouTube, to do something against hate speech.
But the problem is some people say it's too heavy-handed and it restricts free speech, doesn't it? That's what the critics say.
Yes, that's the major criticism, and that it's really vague. I think the wording says something that obviously illegal content has to be deleted within 24 hours, but the problem is that it's not, I mean, obviously illegal sounds like this would be something that would be easy to define, but it's not like mm-hmm. that, and we've seen that.
So what's hate speech and what's just an insult?
Yes, and we've seen it within about 24 hours of this law applying at the beginning of this year. The satire magazine, big German satire magazine Titanic, has been deleted, and it was a satire they wrote pretending to be a member of the nationalist AfD party.
Maris, what's your thought on that? Regulation versus big tech giants?
It's of course it's very, very complicated. I mean, we've lost so much time kind of not noticing what's happening around us, the power that Google, Facebook and all of them, or the big four mainly, have acquired. So the regulator or the legislator is so many steps behind. It's very, very difficult to catch up, and it also takes so much more vision and understanding of the whole thing to even.
So you think policymakers aren't switched on enough to know what they're talking about?
That's probably how you could put it, yes. Europe is trying, but it's very, very complicated.
In a minute, we're going to talk in a lot more detail about digital policy here in Germany. But first of all, let's look at Europe's digital superstar, Estonia. So that's one of my favourite Estonian bands, Trad Attack. Tell us more about them, Maris.
It's a very interesting band, yes, because they are using, again, they are using technology to make a band with a great-grandmother of one of the band members. She used to be a famous folk singer.
And you hear her voice in a lot
exactly,
of the tracks,
so
don't
there
you?
Are archive, there's lots of archive material.
Traditional Estonian music from beginning of right. the 20th century.
So the great-grandmother, who's long dead, is part of the band now.
Is mixed in with this yes. sort of funky, cool tech group.
Yep.
And they use a lot of traditional instruments, don't they?
Yes. Bagpipes and flutes.
This mixture of traditional and modern in music, to what extent do you think that sort of reflects how Estonia today mixes modern digital technology with its traditions?
Well, most of all, I think we really are still very much forest people or country folk. We really like to live in the woods.
On your own.
On our own. So the neighbouring house should be just close enough so that you can see the smoke from the chimney, but not the house itself, which actually is kind of a precondition or a very good...
The internet is quite useful for that, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So being connected to the rest of the world...
But not having to see them. That's a very Estonian trait.
That's a dream come true, actually. As long as you've got your fiber optics cable, you're fine.
That's the idea. So that's why we need to get these fiber optics to every little house in the darkest, deepest woods.
You have a house on an island.
Yes.
You've got fiber optics there.
Yes.
So, parts of Berlin don't have that.
Yeah, I think the infrastructure situation is really, I mean, it was even shocking and surprising for me to hear, because we take it for granted, like drinking water. And many things, like when I talk to our German colleagues, they come and ask, show me something that you do digitally. They say, what do I do? Because the whole idea of it is not having to do anything. The digital does it for me without me having to do it. So I've talked to people and asked, what is it that you do to deal with the public service? So like when you move house, you have to go to the Anmeldebehörde and you have to go there physically. And in order to go there, you need to book an appointment. And I hear in Berlin, you need to wait 2 months for this appointment. And this is something that would be completely incomprehensible for everyone in Estonia, because there is nothing like it.
You click online,
your parking license or your car plates or your child's birth certificate,
I get so jealous when I hear you talking about this, because especially living in Berlin, you're just used to this horrific situation that you just described, where basically, yeah, I had to get up at 6 a.m. to go to an Amt to get an appointment, to get another appointment where I would be allowed to later get an appointment to get married. So that is the situation we have right now.
I'm going to make you two, Chris and Michaela, even more jealous. Maris, I want you to give us some concrete examples of how digital innovation helps your life, makes life easier. And then I want to hear what we have to do in Germany to do the equivalent thing.
The one and the very, very useful thing is the tax. And that takes us 4 minutes, usually, because it's all pre-filled from your employer, all your deductions. So it's a fantastic surprise, because if you have made some donations or had some training costs or childcare costs or something, all of these deductions are in there automatically.
So it's automatically calculated by this national system.
You've long forgotten that you've done this. I mean, there's no receipts. There are no paper receipts in the house.
Okay, so how does it work in Germany?
Well, you spend a weekend at least, maybe more, sorting through your papers. Most people probably, or at least I know I do, I have a big shoebox full of paper. And then I start by sorting the paper, and then I end up with... I put the very little, the tiny receipts, I put into folders, and then I end up with this giant heavy folder that I then have to mail to my tax advisor, who knows what to do with it.
So that's far from digital. Example number two, please, Maris.
So digital signature, I think. I mean, that's another thing that saves people an immense load of money. Let's say starting a company. It takes 18 minutes online to start a business. So if you want to set up all your things, and then you pay in your first backup money that has to be there. So it takes exactly 18 minutes. You don't need to go to a notary or anything. And of course, the basis of all of that is the secure digital identity and the digital signature.
Which you have on your ID card, don't you?
Which you have on your, well, not on the card exactly. It's a very complicated thing to explain within a minute.
That shows how analog I am, doesn't it? I'm saying it's on your card, but actually this is
a very typical first question, actually. Everything is on this one chip card. Isn't that dangerous? There's nothing on the chip card. There's just one part of the key on the chip card. So it's all completely safe and secure. It's a very, very tightly encrypted way of identifying yourself.
Starting a business here, registering as a freelancer, for example, registering as anything, how long does that take? Can we do that online?
You definitely have to make an appointment and go somewhere. You have to fill in forms.
Pull a number, sit in a queue.
You will have to contact different, like, for instance, if you want to set up a restaurant, it's like several contact points, several different
government departments.
You would need to contact.
Final quick example, Maris.
It's a digital signature in general. I mean, everything you sign, I use my phone usually for that. So I sign in to my profile with my one PIN code, and then I sign with another code for the document, and I can send it off, and then someone can open it. And imagine now, like a head of a company, a CEO, for example, who has to sign 20 employment agreements, for example, or any sorts of documents and sign them by hand on every single page. I mean, that from a person like that, that would take half a working day to go just to sign. And here you have all of them comprised in one container, one digital signature, and it's all done within a minute.
What you're describing from Estonia, it's a bit like someone sitting in a speedboat turning around and saying to the cruise ship behind them, which has 16 decks, which are governed differently, every single one of them, saying, oh, gee, you're slow. So there are different regulations that apply. There's different infrastructure in every region. And there's a cultural suspicion of handing over your data.
Well, I think it's just the history of the country, obviously, that is both from Nazi Germany and then later the experience of living in the GDR, where, you know, communist East Germany, where there was a lot of surveillance. So Germans have really good reason to be very suspicious in this history.
So they know where a strong state or an overly strong state can lead.
And it's not that long ago. It's really very recent history. I mean, a lot of people are still alive who have experienced that. So in a way, I also feel like it's also a strength. I mean, there's always a lot of international talk about the general data paranoia of Germans. We are famous for that. But in a way, we see how nowadays it can actually become a national strength that people in general are suspicious to just hand over the data.
We then, the Facebook scandals didn't come as any surprise to Germans.
Well, it did, I think, because I think that's the ambivalence. So if someone knocks on your door and asks you for information, like the census, people freak out and they slam the door.
I mean, trying to interview people on the street, no one will give you their name, will they, Michele?
Yeah, but then they will try and sneak into the picture quietly behind you.
But the problem with Facebook and a lot of these big platforms is that it's actually useful, you know, so, right? So if you have to remember, if you can use Facebook to sign into a gazillion things and not have a gazillion different passwords, which a lot of people do is how they use Facebook, a lot of people are going to take that easy road and are just going to do that and probably not be aware, not think about what that means and that they are actually paying with their data, because no one is really, it's not that upfront asking, give it to us. It's not that obvious.
This useful was a very, very good keyword, actually, because this is why we in Estonia trust our government, because these things are so useful. They save us like 2 weeks of working time a year that you can use for something else.
But so you have to trust your government, don't you?
We trust our government, but also because it's not some built-in trust. I mean, we've also experienced 50 years of KGB surveillance non-stop.
And Soviet occupation.
So, living geographically where we are, there's every reason to
still... Because you border with Russia, don't you?
Exactly, to still be suspicious. However, it just happened, like in the 90s, in the early 90s, when Estonia regained independence, we had nothing. And digital was the only sector where we were on a level playing field with everyone else, because nobody had anything, nobody had any idea. So that was the one field where we could say, okay, we can try something
and
here.
And you leapfrogged everyone
and
else.
And we leapfrogged. Yeah. Also, there was a almost accidental or a lucky coincidence that at the point when the government was ready with this digital development to spread it out, it was just 10 years after the independence, where everyone's passports were expiring. So everyone had to renew their documents. It was a time window to roll out these new digital ID cards to everyone. Because if you make it compulsory, businesses and sectors start inventing services. If you have services, people like to use it. It makes business sense and it's useful. This is why it's much more difficult, of course, for a big cruise liner to do that, because there's no time window to go in one go.
Okay, so let's examine why the infrastructure is so difficult to update here in Germany.
I think one of the points is, as you mentioned, is to stay with the speedboat analogy, maybe if you're starting from scratch, if what you had was a rowing boat or fishing boat before that, and you have to build anew anyway, it's easier to build something that is really shiny and is obviously going to be new and up to date. That's why not just Estonia, even Romania, which in the mindset of a lot of Germans is still considered to be, oh, that's Eastern Europe, you know, they're really far behind. But in terms of coverage with fiber optics, Romania is just light years ahead of Germany and a lot of other countries because they haven't had a network before that. So the first network that now, you know, private and a lot of the private sector is building there is the highest standard. Whereas in Germany, we do have old structures that have to be renewed. And I do think that in terms of policy, part of the problem is that a lot has been left to the free market. It's kind of like the free market's going to fix it, you know, but the problem is for maybe over 8 years, this is what we've been hearing from every new government. By the next legislation period, it's going to be fine, but the free market hasn't fixed it so far. So the question is, what's going to happen now?
This is where the whole federal structure comes in. It comes down to how budgets are designed. It comes down to how much the central government can interfere into what the regions do.
Because a lot of infrastructure is paid for and organized by the federal states, isn't it? Not central government.
Exactly. But also it's co-sponsored by the central government and by the federal states. And it's about really both sides wanting to tango on particular projects. And this is something that Germany has great difficulty with. This is something that the new government has promised will get better. But at the same time, you know, seeing more details of the budget now, I think it still has to prove that it can really pull it off and that the political will in the end is there and that there won't just be cash handouts to particular regions with no real concept behind or no real drive. And I think Estonia is an example where there's a clear direction, there's a strong central government, and it just rolled out this innovation. And okay. Germany is somewhat stuck there.
Okay, let's have a look in more detail then at policy here in Germany, what the German government is going to do or promises it's going to do. I'm a little confused because there are a billion different government departments now being set up dealing with digital. So we have a new digital minister of state, Dorothee Bär. We have Eva Christiansen is heading up a new digital department in the Chancellor's office. The Ministry of Transport and Infrastructure also looks after internet issues. We have the Work Minister, Hubertus Heil, setting up a digital lab, etc., etc., etc. What on earth is going on?
This makes sense. I mean, there's no field of life that is not digital. You look at agriculture, there's so much that can be done with data. I mean, this is the...
So every ministry should have its own digital
exactly,
department.
Exactly, absolutely. And that's what we do in Estonia.
So do you need then a digital Minister of State?
Well, that was the big discussion. Do we need a digital ministry to kind of bring all that together? But I think what Mari said is kind of true. It should be something that is just implemented on different levels. So it kind of makes sense to have it, to not have one ministry, but to actually have different departments in every ministry or people taking care of these topics. But I think what we're seeing now, what you mentioned, the general confusion of who else is going to pop up next, who's going to be in charge of these topics.
Because everyone's minister of something and digital, aren't they now?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is really what we're seeing is just PR or political communication, because it's really...
It's a trend topic.
Digitalisierung, the German word digitization. I mean, we could spend an entire hour just talking about that, because it's so interesting. I mean, it's a very German's idiosyncrasy that everybody's using this one word and it means everything from innovation to tech, digitalization. But digitalization has, even to people who don't have a clue what it actually means, an idea of it's futuristic, it's innovative. So I think everybody's really trying to keep the other parties from taking that topic away from them and to get a political profile.
We've arrived at the point where everybody needs to be seen to be actually doing something on this subject. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, she's now in her fourth term. So for the past 12 years, she has been talking about digitization in Germany. What we have not seen is this Gordian knot being resolved or cut through. And I think the new government is yet to prove that it can do this and that we will actually see more action in terms of infrastructure, but also in digital teaching in German schools, so the next generation is not lost on this whole subject, because I'm yet to see kids in school learning to code from their teachers, because really the know-how often isn't there.
So and it's that's about just one infrastructure, example. It's about education, not about more government departments and
it's
more bureaucracy.
It's about actually doing rather than talking about what what they're going to do. And we've seen a lot of talk about how this is a huge challenge and a lot of policy definition. But what businesses here in Germany want to see, and certainly many moms like myself who have kids in school want to see, is actual action.
Okay, to round up, I'd like to ask one final question. How hopeful are you all that the German, what did you call it, Michaela? Steamliner, cruise ship, will catch up with the nimble Estonian speedboat? Maris?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, we have these German government and the federal government delegations popping in and out from Estonia all the time and going away with their eyes bright and want to implement this immediately. But I hope it will happen at some point. It would make our life so much easier if I'm sending an invoice.
Just for you dealing with Germany.
For me personally, if I'm sending an invoice here, that I could just do it with a digital signature without having to print it, sign it, scan it, PDF it, and email it. Just basics, you know.
Yeah, for you that's basics. For us, that would be crazy to not go through all that rigmarole. Chris, how hopeful are you?
Well, I think catching up with Estonia is something that I probably don't see for the, I don't know, next decades, but that is also aiming very high. I think I would already be quite content if we would get more digital services, like Dorothee Bär has promised, by 2021, I think. I think 2021 is probably totally unrealistic. I think we would already be mentioning what you mentioned for Berlin, for instance. But if we would even have that within the next 5, 6, 7 years, I would already be very content with that.
So if we kept Estonia just on the horizon, that speedboat didn't lose us completely,
yeah,
you'd be
even
happy.
Even think about it.
Michaela.
Lucky for all of us, the Estonian speedboat is part of the European fleet, and the German cruise liner will never catch up with Estonia, but Estonia might hit the odd Russian iceberg, and the steam liner will be there to take that boat on board and fix it and put it out there again, because they're certainly pioneers for the whole fleet.
That metaphor got very confusing for me, but yeah, I think I followed that. Good. Okay. By the time we catch up, though, Estonia will probably have like telepathy or something. Well, to finish up music-wise, I think we should go back to Kraftwerk. Any ideas which track I've selected that fits our theme? Come on, think back to your Kraftwerk.
Autobahn. Not in this.
Artificial intelligence.
The model?
Roboter. Hier kommt der Roboter. Nee.
Wir sind die Roboter.
Wir sind die Roboter, ja.
Exactly. We are the robots. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks to Nina and Max for producing, and to Max for developing our very own artificial intelligence quiz robot. She's going to get poached by Silicon Valley if we're not careful. Remember, do subscribe on your podcast provider, and if you want to make Nina very happy, leave a review or rate us. And join us next week for all the latest political chatter from Berlin. Wir funktionieren automatisch. Jetzt wollen wir tanzen mit Panik. Wir sind die Roboter. Wir sind die Roboter.